Amen. Would you take a seat right where you are, high five your neighbor, and say reproduce. My husband said, that's a great word. And I said, no, I feel like God gave it to me this morning. And so we're going to see what God does. If you have your Bible, would you turn to Matthew chapter 28? If you don't have a Bible, there is one behind you or beside you or inside of you, right? That song. Isn't that a good song, The Blessings? I love that song. We preach that over our kids. And every night, I used to pray for them. I do pray for my kids, but at night, I would pray for them. And I would say, Mom, pray for me. And I always would pray that blessing over their life. I said, Mom, that's not a prayer. I said, that is a prayer. That's a God-given prayer. And now that they know the song, they let me do it over and over their lives. And so today we're going to be talking about reproducing. We have talked about repenting. We will be talking about that again tonight, and reconciliation and rebuilding. And today's RE word is reproduce. The other day I was walking to the thrift store. We have a thrift store right behind us. And so I was walking to the thrift store and I was smiling. Anybody smile for no reason? I smile. So I like to sing. I can't sing well. And so I was sort of singing. I always whistle. Everybody knows I'm in the building because I'm sort of always singing. Singing and whistling. So I'm coming out of our little thrift store, and there's a man, and he says, wow, you have a big smile on. And he wasn't like, you know, trying to flirt with me or anything. He just noticed. And I said, and he said, I can't believe in these times and in these days that you have a smile on your face. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, why do you smile? And the immediate answer was, well, I know Jesus. And so I just told him, I know Jesus. And he sort of looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, well, I've never heard that answer before. And I said, well, he's the reason. He's the reason why I smile. And so I started to walk back here into the church building. And then I just thought to myself, man, I didn't tell him. I told him why I smile, but I didn't introduce him to the smile. And today we want to talk about being a people that not just say, hey, come to church, but rather introduce them to the person of Jesus, and that he is the person and our Savior. And so today we're going to be talking about that. And when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, we used to do this all the time. I used to be very mindful. My college pastor, Brother Tim LaFleur, he would speak to us and just encourage us to tell everyone we knew about Jesus. That was just our heart. That was our mission. If I was in the band, I was to tell my band members about Jesus. If we were going to a football game, we were going to tell the football players about Jesus. And so everything was centered on Christ. But sometimes all these different things get in the way, our habits, our concerns of the world. And so today we're going to look at what God has commissioned us to do. And so sometimes we get that confused, like, God, why am I here? Why do I live? Why is this world so troublesome? And yet Jesus says that we are to share the good news. Now notice I said good news. And so it is good news to all people in all cultures at all times and all of time. And so today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28 in verse 16. If you're there, say amen, because there's absolutely no sports teams to cheer for right now. Matthew 28 in verse 16, it says this: Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Now this is the end. This is the end of the end, okay? So if you're getting a picture of what is happening, now Matthew is a very specific writer. He writes to the Jews to have them to come to the faith. In fact, over and over and over again, he will grab scripture from the Old Testament and bring it into his gospel, because his heart is that the Jewish people would understand that Jesus is the Messiah that they have been waiting for. And so we see at the end of the time, after Jesus has come back and shown himself to over 500 people, we see very clearly that Jesus has a plan. And so it says in verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Everybody say all authority. Now I like that. It says all authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now Jesus is talking to himself and telling the others, now that I have died, now that I've come back from the grave, I am the resurrected king, and all authority has been given to me. So when someone with authority is getting ready to commission you, then you have that same authority too. It's pretty simple. Like if I have the authority with my keys to open up the keys of my house, and I then give my keys over to my kids, now my kids have the authority to open up my house. Okay? So whenever Jesus is saying this, he's clearly saying all authority has been given to me. And guess what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to give it to you and to you and to you. And so in Matthew, he's saying this commission. Now, this is where we got to hit home at. In verse 19, it says this. It says, go therefore. So as Jesus is giving us the authority that we can step on snakes and they're not going to hurt us, and we can drink poison and it won't bother us. That's what Jesus says. One time I was in Mexico. This is a short story. And so I was in Mexico with Miss Tina Saun. She's a missionary there. We stopped in at a house, and one of the ladies gave us some food, and like it was from like 2 days ago, still on the stove kind of food. And I was just like, God, all authority has been given unto me. And so that when I eat this food, it is not going to kill me, because you know that food poisoning is serious. And so Jesus is giving us authority, but he's giving us authority not to proclaim ourselves or to build bigger houses or to have more cars. Jesus in verse 19 is giving us the authority and the commission to, in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So if you have a commission or an assignment on your life, it is simply that we are to be a telling people. We are to be a people that go therefore. And so the premise is that as we're going, we're also making disciples of all nations. And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So not only are we to go and tell, which is important, but as we're going and as we're telling, we're baptizing them, we're teaching them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're teaching them to observe all that Jesus had commanded, and behold, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have an assignment. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have an assignment. So if you have an assignment and you walk out of the room as a teacher, and I've been a teacher, I would expect that that assignment hasn't done, especially if I've given you the authority to do the assignment. And so Jesus not only gives us the authority, he gives us the assignment. And so the assignment of our life, and I don't care if you love evangelism or you don't love evangelism, and I know some people have a specific call of evangelism over their lives, but the general call is that we all evangelize, that we talk about Jesus wherever we go, that we begin to proclaim his name, and that we begin to reproduce what God has done in our lives, that we have people that are doing the same, that we are bringing up. And that could be your kids, that could be the people at your workplace, that could be the people at your job. You can have friends or family that you are bringing to know the Lord, and then as you're bringing them to know the Lord, you're also discipling them, teaching them to obey all the commandments. So it's sort of this twofold thing. And when we're not burdened with it, there's a problem. There's a problem when I'm not thinking, when I see people, are they Christians? Are they believers? Do they know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? When you have lost the fire to reach your coworkers, there's a problem. When it doesn't burden you that you're driving to church on a Sunday and that not many people in your neighborhood ever go to church, there's a problem. We have lost the sight of the assignment. Not many people even talk about the assignment anymore. It's good if you just come to church. But yet Jesus says that we are to go therefore and preach the gospel and make disciples. And so as we reproduce, as you follow this commission on your life, you also have to follow the commandments. Why? Because people are following you. My old pastor, he used to say it this way. He said, whatever you do in little, your kids will do in excess. I'm going to say that again. Whatever you do in the little bit, your kids will do in the excess. And he would always talk about, hey, let's say if you're angry. If you're angry a little and your kids see that growing up, your kids take that and like explode that and make it like really worse. And a lot of times, if you have a problem with an addiction and your kids see that, then they reproduce that. And so I always thought, wow, that's a negative, but it also can be a positive. What if your kids see you following Jesus, attending church, going therefore and preaching gospel, and you do that in the little and your kids do that in the excess? That's what kind of faith I'm praying for. I don't want my kids to be where I'm at. I want my kids to do better than what I'm doing for the gospel and for Christ. And not only my kids, the people that I am discipling that are underneath me, I want them to be better speakers and better preachers. I want them to win generations that win generations for the kingdom of God. And so what we're doing is that we are saying, God, I understand there is an assignment to reproduce over my life. Then you ask yourself, am I doing that assignment? And if today you are not doing that assignment, I'm going to try to get some ways that you can help. As you follow the commission, you follow the commandment. Now, Jesus would talk about the greatest commandments. We know that in the Old Testament, there were over 600 commandments in the Bible. That's hard, right? I can't follow that many laws and rules and assignments. And so Jesus, one of the Pharisees and the rulers of the law, came and said, what's the greatest? And Jesus says, and we're going to start here today, we're going to reproduce people. And Jesus says this, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and restraint. So as you're reproducing people, you need to reproduce people who love God. Everybody say, love God. So when we're focused on reproducing, we have to start on people that love God. You can't look at the problem. You have to look at the person and say, okay, I see all the problems in your life. So the only way that I have for you is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and the strength. I don't have all the answers for the problem, but here's what I do have, a Jesus who loves you, who went to the cross and died for your sin. So as we're leading, as we're reproducing, we're building the love of God, that people behind us will love the Lord their God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. As I lead the youth group here, and my heart is that our young people would love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. Pizza parties are good. We have different things that we do with the kids, but at the end of the day, I want to reproduce people who love God correctly. See, you can reproduce people, production of children, or maybe you have a ministry, or disciples, you reproduce who you are. And of course, that can be in the bad if you're doing something bad. But what if you do it in the good? My prayer is that the people coming behind me would love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. My prayer is that they would do better than me. Even Paul says this in the New Testament. He says, hey, I am doing good because the disciples that I am reproducing are doing good. Reproduction is working. Not only that they would follow the people and the commandment equally as hard. So you're reproducing people who love God if you're reproducing. But you also have to do the second part of that commandment. Remember what Jesus says? To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, but also what? To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is interesting because I think sometimes we're busy about having people love God, but we're not as busy about having people love others or teaching people how to love others well. Reproducing people who love others well, that puts the needs of others before the need of myself. So when I'm teaching reproduction and intentionally going to make missionaries that make missionaries, the thing that I'm going to do correctly is I am going to have them love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then at the same time, I wanted to reproduce a people who are loving others. And I think the world needs a whole lot of people that love others, like to really love, not just in words, but in action, to love people into the kingdom. Rabbi Zacharias, he's a famous preacher, apologetic. I don't know if you know who he is. If you have chance, go and listen to him. He just passed away away in the middle of quarantine with, I think, a really intense bone cancer. And he was 70, 75 years old. And to make his story short, and whenever he was young, he tried committing suicide. And God saved him. And in that hospital bed, he said, God, because you saved me, I will devote my life to telling other people about Jesus. And so he became an apologetic, which is a fancy word for telling people about Jesus. And he defended the faith over and over again. But he was really smart, like way smarter than probably any of us in the room. And so he would always be at these prestigious universities. And people would always try to get him rattled and confused. And whenever he passed away, all of the people that he knew, they said, no matter whom it was, it says that not only did Rabbi Zacharias defend the faith, the Christian faith, but he did it in love. In fact, the overriding word of his funeral passing was that he was someone who loved others well. And he defended the faith, but he did it in love. And Ted and I have been watching some of his videos, and it's incredible that this man of God, who is asking other people to know Jesus, and that he loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, but he did it in a way that didn't hurt other people. He did it in a way that was loving people and saying, hey, the defining feature of a Christian, do you know what it is? The way that they know that we are Christian? Not because you come to church on Sunday, not because you give to the church, though those things are good. The way that they know that we are believers in Christ is in our love. The Bible says that over and over again, that we are to be people that love God. But the Bible says the way that they know that you're a Christian is because you love other people well. You don't look at the things going on. Instead, you look at the King God, and then you say, God, help me to love them. It is the defining feature of us as a Christian. Can you imagine being buried, and that the only thing that people can say about you is, she loved other people like Jesus loved other people. He loved other people. That's the kind of reproduction that we want to have. Rabbi Zacharias, I have a quote from him. He says, love is hard work. Can I get an amen? If you're in a marriage, you know it's hard work. It is the hardest work, he says, I know of, from which you are never entitled to take a vacation. And so we can't take a vacation from love. We have to reproduce people who love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And we have to reproduce people that love others. And that is work. But that's what people will know Jesus by. And they're all tied up in this together. So as we accept our assignment, which is to go and tell, we're going and telling people. And when we disciple people, we are discipling people who love God. And then we're discipling people who love others. And it just reflows, loving God, loving others, loving God, loving others. And eventually what happens is that person that we are pouring into, that person that we are exemplifying the gospel, if this is you in your life and you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have accepted your assignment, you said, today I'm going to go out there and I'm going to not say, you know, burner, what did they used to say, turn or burn, you know, kind of thing, or like, everyone's going to hell, you know, not that at all. Like, that's not the assignment. The assignment is that as we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and God has taken over our lives, it says, go therefore and make disciples. And so we are to pour the love that we have for God, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the love that we have for each other, we are to pour that into somebody else's life. And you just begin pouring. And sometimes, you know, they can only take a little bit at a time. But some times, somebody will be empty and available and teachable, and you pour into them, and they're faithful, and you pour into them, and you teach them the assignments and the commandments, and that person, whomever that person, maybe it's a kid in your family, it should be your kids in your family, maybe it's someone at their job, and your job that God has given you, I always pray, God, give me someone to pour into. Because I'm not supposed to, because here's what happens. I come in and get filled with the Spirit of God at church or on Wednesday nights, and I get filled with his power. It's not to keep to myself. It's to pour into someone else. Now, the example is this. As that person knows how to love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength, and they're loving other people, they can take what God has given them and they pour that into someone else. and they don't spill it. They can spill it all over the place. It doesn't even matter. And so they begin to pour that into someone else who now loves God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And then that person in turn takes it and pours it into someone else. And now you see that the assignment that Jesus gave us over 2,000 years ago has been busy reproducing because of the disciples that heard the commission, that took this seriously, and the church in Acts was born. And now people are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're pouring their lives and their love for God, and they're pouring their love for others, and the world took notice. In fact, the Bible says that the first time they saw that they were Christians is because of the way that they loved. And so you can see that the world starts to take notice in a very evil and demonic culture. In the book of Acts, here are these people that love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love neighbors and others as they love themselves. And the world says, these are the people that follow the way. They even called them that. Christians were the way followers. That there was a difference. In fact, if there was something going on in culture, always that these people stood out. Why? Because they loved God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and then they loved others. And so our commission is that we teach people to love God, we teach people to love others, and then we reproduce people who go therefore. Everybody say, go therefore. This is the work of the commandments. This is the activity of the commandments. This is next Sunday, invite your one to church Sunday. We are teaching our young people, and now we're saying that to you, that you would go and make an invite next Sunday, that you would feel a little bit uncomfortable, because sometimes it feels uncomfortable. And if all you are is at a place where, okay, Tara, I get I'm supposed to be pouring, but for right now, all I can do is invite one. It's simple. Next Sunday, right here at Hope Community, we'll still have socially distanced ideas, and, you know, all happening. But right after the service, we're going to give a free food, like free grilled hamburgers and chips and soda, to every person that comes next Sunday. But you invite them. Hey, you want to come for a meal? Come to the 9:30 service. Come to the 11 o'clock service. All they're going to hear is a salvation message, how to give your life to Jesus. What does that look like in 2020? So we're going to be busy in the next week asking God to activate us into our commission, that we're going to go there for and tell others. And so whenever you walk out the door, there's going to be a couple of coupons. Grab a couple of coupons and give them. Hey, you want to come? I got a free coupon, free meal. Hey, you can come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus did that, right? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Hey, come on and hear the message. This is the multiplication of the gospel. This is the commission that Christ has left us. Go therefore and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So you're to tell people and pour your life into other people so that they can tell people and pour their lives, and it becomes good news. Everybody say good news. And it continues for generations to come. It is why we come to assembly on Sunday and we get restored. It's why you come on Wednesdays. And if you don't come on Wednesday, come and join us. Wednesdays at 6:30, and you get connected and discipled. It's so that this story, this commission multiplies over and over and over again. It's at Wednesdays and D groups. It's expanding the gospel to love God and to love others, and it replicates and it reproduces so that the enemy does not win, and instead the kingdom of God wins. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the kingdom of God winning over and over and over again as we accept the assignment. And I end with a story. I've been reading this book to our kids. It's called Tramp for the Lord, and it's a story of Corrie Ten Boom. And if you don't know her or her story, she had hidden during the World War II era. Her and her family would hide Jews into their basements and into the cellar of their house so that Nazi Germany would not take those Jews into concentration camps. And eventually, one of her friends, who she thought was a friend who had asked for money, ratted her out, ratted her and her family out, snitched on her. And so whenever they snitched on her. The guards came into the house. They could not find the Jews, but they knew they were in there. And instead, they took Corey and her sister and her father and her mother and I think a brother, and they took them to concentration camp. They separated the men. Eventually, Corey's father dies. And so Corey is stuck in a concentration camp at the age of, I think, 58, 59 years old. Her sister is 60, 62 years old. And she stays there for over a year, and she smuggles a Bible, an incredible woman of God. And about a week before this part of the story is written, her sister was no longer able to live because of all the mistrust and abuse that happened, and she passed away. Her sister's name was Betsy, and she died in that prison camp, in the concentration camp. And this story, as I was reading it to my kids, convicted me on the assignment that we have. And I want to read this. It says, it was a week after Betsy had died in Ravensbrück, that was the name of the concentration camp, that I took my place in the ranks of women, prisoners standing together in that icy cold of an early morning. 66730, that is my number, I said weakly as we all took places for roll call. Tin Boone, Cornelia, that is my name, I thought. How strange that would call me on my name when they always address us by number. Corey, come forward. We were following a line for roll call, 10 in a line, every 100th woman, one step forward. My friends looked at me sadly. What does it mean? I said inwardly. Punishment, freedom, the gas chamber, sent to another concentration camp? There was but one thought that comforted me. What a joy that Betsy was in heaven. No matter what terrible thing now happened, she will not have to bear it. The guard, a young German girl, shouted to me, number 66730. I stepped forward, stood at attention, and repeated those necessary words. Stand on number, I on the roll call. I went to the place of the far right where I could overlook the entire square of the bleak camp. Standing in that crowd, I could not feel the draft, but now standing in the bitter cold, that wind whipped through my ragged prison dress. Another girl, young and frightened, was sent to stand beside me. Roll call took 3 hours, and we were almost frozen. She saw how cold I was and rubbed my spine when the guards were not looking. Why must I stand here, I asked, through chattering teeth. Her answer was barely audible as it came to her from her blue lips, the death sentence. I turned back to the Lord. Perhaps I'll see you face to face, God, like Betsy does now. Let it not be too cruel of a killing. No gas, Lord, nor hanging. I prefer shooting. It is so quick. You see something, you hear something, it's finished. I looked back at that young girl beside me. I said, Lord, this is the perfect last chance I have to fulfill my assignment, to bring someone to you before I arrive in heaven. Use me, Lord. Give me all the love and wisdom I need. I looked at her and I said, what is your name? I asked her softly, glancing to see if the guards were looking. She said, Tiny. I said, I am Corey, I whispered. How long have you been here? 2 years. I asked her, did you ever read the Bible? No, I never did. Do you believe God exists? I do. I just wish I knew more about him. Do you know him? And Corey says, I do. His name is Jesus. His son came into the world to carry our punishment. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he has promised to be with us always. My sister died here a week ago. She suffered so much. I have suffered too. But Jesus is always with us. He did a miracle and taken away all my hatred and bitterness from my enemies. Jesus is willing to bring into your heart God's love through his Holy Spirit. Tiny listened. For almost 3 hours, we talked while the guards completed the roll call. It was a miracle, for I had a chance to explain her many things about Jesus. The prisoners behind us, they listened too. I felt happy. Perhaps this was my last chance in life, but what joy. I continued, Jesus wants to live in your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If anyone comes to the door, I'll come in. Will you open the door of your heart, Tiny, and let him come and change you? And she said, I will. Then talk to him. Tell him whatever you think. Now you have a friend who never leaves you alone. That siren sounded, and the guard shouted at the prisoners, get to work. Thousands of women prisoners, including Tiny, ran to their places where they had to march to their work. Tiny disappeared from sight. Only I was left standing in my place where I had been ordered not to move. I still didn't know what fate awaited me, but I did know, however, that God, who never slumbers nor sleeps, was now with Tiny. And Tiny knew it too. Neither of us knew at that time how important that was going to be to her in the next few days, because just a week later, she passed away. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? At the end of all this, when you look at Corey facing the death chambers, the gas chambers, and yet her heart was on her assignment. She knew the assignment that God was saying, go and tell Corey. And so she takes time and she pours her life into Tiny, who a couple days later passed away. But can you imagine the reunion when Corey, who is now dead and passed away, when she saw Tiny in heaven, all because she bothered to take the assignment that God had given her seriously and said, I will go therefore and tell the nations. And whether I am in good place or in a bad place, whether I am imprisoned or I'm sitting at my home hiding Jews, that I will choose to take the mission that God has given for me seriously. A Hope Community, that we would take the mission that God has given us seriously. That we would say, God, who is it that I am to tell? Who is it that I am to show? Who is it am I to pour my life into? Guys, it is our assignment as believers to pour what God has given us into other people. Today, if you would say, you know what, Tara, I have not been at that place. Or maybe you need to up your game, as they would say. Maybe you need to look at your life, assess your life, and you say, you know what, I've been quiet for too long. I haven't been sharing, or I've been focused. For me, it's always I'm focused on other things. And not that those things aren't important, but that at the end of the day, the assignment is always the same. The commission is always the same. Jesus says, I have given you authority. You might say, well, I'm too scared, or I'm too nervous, or I don't know what to say. Just say something. Jesus says, I've given you the authority. I've given you the keys to tell of the kingdom of God. All you have to say is talk to them and love them and love God, and God will bring all men to himself. You just sit there and say, God, use my life to bring all men to yourself. If you would like that in your life, if you want God to use you in that way, would you just lift your hand to heaven? Lift your hands right where you are and say, God, I want to be a person who is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want the commission that you have given to Corey Ten Boom. I want the assignment that you gave to the disciples in the book of Matthew. I want to look at people and go beyond the surface and see, do they know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are they loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are they loving others well? Are they doing those things in their life? If that's you, just raise your hands to heaven. God, you see our hands lifted to the sky. God, myself included, God, I have stepped away from the assignment so many times, God, and I get fired up and I get pumped up, and then life happens or circumstance happens and I forget what you have called us to. And God, I pray with my hands lifted and our hands lifted, God, that we would take the mission, the assignment seriously. God, that we would walk out these doors and say, whom is it can I tell? And maybe that's just grabbing a flyer or a ticket, inviting someone to church next Sunday. But some of us, God, we know we can do better. God, we know what you have done in our lives and the testimony and the stories that you have given. God, we pray, God, even this week, God, that you will set people's hearts soft so that we can share the good news of Jesus. God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Send us someone, God, who is looking for you. God, send us out, Lord, too. God, help us to be a going out people when we go out to our jobs, when we go out to our families, God, when we go out to the places that you have assigned us to. God, that rather than thinking on all the things that are no good, that we would think of the good news of Jesus. And who can I share that with? Who can I tell that to? Lord God, how can we reproduce the message of the good news of Jesus Christ so that we know, but God, generations behind us know. And God, we thank you for the assignment. God, what a privilege and a trust that is. God, to go out of these doors and tell others about Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord God, to do that well. God, thank you and give us all the power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will be filled with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. God, we want to go and be a witness to the ends of the earth. And so help us to start here locally to go and reproduce. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. We love you guys. We are going to see you tonight, 6:30, if you want to hear that message. Also, whenever you walk out the door, they're going to have some tickets to invite people to church. And we're still going to have a 9:30 and an 11 o'clock. But after, we'll have a meal that we'll just give hand out to people because of the social distance laws. But hey, the kingdom of God is still here and advancing, even during these times. Be encouraged to go and tell someone in Jesus' name. We'll see you guys soon. Hug somebody's neck. We're going to ask that in the next couple of minutes, if you will make your way out so that next group can come in, and we're going to take a little bit of time to clean the building as well. We will see you soon. Love you guys in Jesus' name.